to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people, the priest who sing your praise. Hello, my name is Shane Eidelman, and I'm the pastor of Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California. It is my personal heart and goal for you to see truth through a biblical perspective. I hope that you enjoy this segment of Eidelman Unplugged.
HRT, TRT, steroids, and maybe we should let the listener know, HRT is hormone replacement therapy, which can be male or female. Estrogen, progesterone on the female, testosterone, human growth hormone. Well, I guess women, that too, if they would need that. But then you have TRT, which is testosterone replacement therapy. Men are seeing a decrease in testosterone. And then you have steroids, which would be they're taking testosterone on their own, maybe from a doctor. They're also taking like Anavar or Anadrol, Dianabol. They're taking some growth hormone. So steroids, when somebody's on steroids, they're just overcompensating. They're just taking way too much. And I think that'd be a good way to break it down for the listener so they understand. But I think the thing, a lot of what's going on with hormones, and this I'm leading in, then I'll just give you the microphone, is cholesterol, yes, but also, what do they call those? Endocrine disruptors?
Yes, endocrine disrupting chemicals. So,
and we're seeing that in our hair products, deodorant. So I think that's why I like you do functional medicine, because so many people are going to the doctor, give me TRT. But if you're getting enough sleep, I mean, I'm sure firemen have low testosterone because of that, right? Sleep,
yeah, absolutely.
Proper diet. So maybe you can unpack that whole topic.
And oh my God. Okay. So, yeah.
In under 5 minutes, right?
Okay. So, where do I jump into there? Okay. Men. Okay. Hormones. Okay. Testosterone counts, sperm counts. So, back when, 40 something years ago, okay, when I first came into this, the ranges for sperm counts were like this. Okay.
Okay.
Down here, this is bordering infertility. Okay,
so in the 1980s.
This would have been 1980 thereabouts. Okay. So below this is infertility. Okay, so now our new norm is this.
Oh wow.
Okay, so
wow.
Our range. Well, I thought this was infertility before. Well, no, that's now the new norm. So our fertility has dropped off tremendously. So that is due to some of the things you mentioned,
yeah,
with the endocrine disrupting chemicals. So if people want to look that up, I mean, they can go to the Endocrine Society and look at some of the studies or some of the list. There's so many chemicals out there.
What is the endocrine system? That's actually the hormonal system.
Okay, that is the hormone.
Hypothalamus, adrenal glands.
So all of, yeah, from your hypothalamus to your pituitary to your thyroid to your adrenals to your gonads.
Okay.
All of those are part of the endocrine system.
Okay.
And so you see an endocrinologist because of an endocrine problem. So the endocrine disrupting chemicals disrupt the normal the normal flow of the hormones and their effect. So anyway, we've had a drop off in men's testosterone to a degree. Other things in our foods. What is it? Sodium, aluminum? Is it phosphate? It shows up in almost every baked food. It's kind of one of these, I don't know whether it's an anti-caking agent or something, but it's in most.
Like emulsifiers or
I don't know if it's an emulsifier, but it's one of those food ingredients. I'm sorry.
Carrageenan.
I don't remember exactly, but it's found in a lot of those foods, but it's an aluminum product. But
okay.
It drops sperm counts and it drops hormone levels. And so we're seeing that in men. You mentioned occupational risk, like a firefighter. Well, they have disrupted sleep, and sleep is so important for natural hormone production. So I probably have more firefighters that I see for low T than anyone.
Wow.
Okay, it's almost okay. They don't have any problem for the first 3 years or so, and then all of a sudden they start noticing it. And these guys really, I mean, they're young, they're healthy, they're working out, and yet they're starting to drop off. Mm-hmm. And I try to use diet and exercise to optimize testosterone. And you know about this. And I mean, you can triple some guy's testosterone just by doing this if everything is working right. But men will have a drop off starting after about age 30. They really peak with their testosterone, not when they're a teenager.
In their 20s.
Yeah, 20, 25, something like that. And you really don't drop off until after 30. But when, you know, I hear from some of these men's clinics, at least the patients tell me, they said they're going to make my testosterone that of a 16-year-old. And I said, well, a 16-year-old doesn't have that high, believe it or not. It's actually later. Right. And but this is what they're telling guys. And they're saying everyone has levels up here. Well, those are out of range. And if you really look at the average ranges, they're much, much lower. Now, again, all that said, you know, we have problems with endocrine disrupting chemicals. We have other things impairing our testosterone.
And while you're thinking there too, I think this is an important point on testosterone. When you go get the injection, right, and some doctors recommend cypionate, ethanate, propionate, and those are all, they all have different esters. So they're going to maybe stay in the body longer. Testosterone suspension, which is water-based, but these are synthetic. So your testicles are basically going to shut down. It's going to eventually stop producing your testosterone. Now you're relying on the synthetic testosterone, which, in my opinion, it's harder for the body to regulate, and that's why you'll see emotional highs and lows, you know, angry, mood swings. So many things can come in. So my point was, you got to be very careful and make sure you're doing it for the right reasons as a last resort. Because so many guys right. they want to get bigger too. They think, oh, I can take steroids, oh. You know.
Well, that's where most of these. These guys are aiming, and they're listening to some of the men's clinics out there that are telling them this. And it's really not true. I'm all into balancing.
Yeah.
I mean, having low T is no fun. And
no,
these guys, they have no energy. They're dragging. They're irritable and moody. They got the grumpy old man syndrome.
Yeah.
They're depressed. I've had guys coming in after they've been treated with four or five antidepressants, none of those worked.
Right.
And when I moved their T up, okay, all of a sudden they lit up and they're going, oh my gosh, I feel normal. Mm-hmm.
So in those cases, you would recommend it. You know, I probably would too. A fireman who needs to have his job, and you know, that's what it's there for.
Right.
But is there other, do you try, let's say they're there, can they make up that sleep 4 days a week and begin to change your diet and lose some weight? Or is that,
it's very difficult with their schedule.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
You end up getting disrupted sleep more and more. Now, I've treated many of them after they retired. Okay. They still have some issues, but they don't have the same issue.
Got it.
But again, at that age, I mean, they're retired.
Yeah.
But again, many of them retire young from the fire service. But anyway, that's kind of a subset out there. But most guys out there, it's due to their diet. It's due to eating improperly.
Stress. Hmm? Stress too.
Yeah. Yeah. And the stress releases cortisol, another steroid hormone. And that causes you to gain weight, and it causes problems with the brain. And the function up there, it affects your hippocampus. And anyway, it gets back to diet. Okay. Yeah. And so I try to change that as much as I can. If I can't, okay, then we can look into other ways of going about it. The different forms of testosterone replacement would include injections, as you mentioned, pellets.
And the pellets are injected into or placed into the glute, and they're on time release.
Right. And, you know, you might do it after 6 months, but you have to dial it in and you have to make sure you get the right, because, well, you don't take it out. Okay. No. It's going to be there. So if you overshoot, I had a guy, I measured him. He's actually in the fire service. And he, I measured his testosterone at 6 months post last pellet. 3,000. Wow. Okay. So, if you're going over 1,000, that's, you know, that's actually out than two standard deviations from the average.
And are we looking at free testosterone, the testosterone that's active, or do you look at both?
I always look at both, but his total was, it was so high. It was like almost, you know, it was 3,000, and that was at 6 months, and he was shocked. And I said, "Do you know what that means?" And he goes, "Yeah, they screwed up."
Yeah, but did he have mood swings or anything from that level?
He was. You know, he wanted me to take over his care because he says something's not right.
Well, no kidding. Wow.
So anyway, you can get into trouble with the pellets. It's basically a money maker. That's why they do it. Okay. Yeah. So, and it's a convenience, so you don't have to worry about anything and you get a steady state. Well, yeah, theoretically it's a great idea. It's not practical for everyone. Maybe they can't afford it. Insurance isn't going to pick that up. The testosterone injections, say for instance, like Cipionate, you get a peak and then you get a trough and you get a peak and a trough. So you get this sawtooth type curve. So I don't like the peaks. If they go too high, they become irritable and moody. And, you know, this is where you get, you know, well, it can affect your moods. Okay. So if you get a nice steady state, there's usually not a problem.
And that's what your body does naturally, right?
Right.
Ideally,
your testosterone is going to be kind of steady. I mean, it peaks in the morning and then drops off throughout the day.
Right.
But these guys are having really highs and lows. And then the problem with the highs with the injections, you're going to get red blood cell hyperplasia or overgrowth of red blood cells. So your blood is getting thicker. And that's not necessarily a good thing. And so those guys, I would say, well, you're going to have to, if you're getting out there and we can't avoid it, you're going to have to donate blood just to
get rid of it. Yeah.
Drop the hemoglobin hematocrit down to a reasonable range. And so they might do that every 8 weeks, but that's not my ideal.
No.
As they get down to the lows, then they're feeling, you know, really yucky. Now, I have guys that, you know, they don't have any change. They feel fine here or here. Mm-hmm. They're in that window. But other guys, they can't handle those peaks. So I lower the dose, I shorten the interval. And so they have smaller sawtooth. So
for the listener, it wouldn't be 100 milligrams of Cipionate a week. It would be 20 milligrams maybe every other day. You know, that way you're breaking up.
That's one way of doing it. Now, a lot of guys say, oh, I don't want to do that. Okay.
That's true. Okay. Shot every other day. Not
okay. And then there are some people that have gone on to doing subcutaneous. Okay. Well, you can't do that. Well, people are doing it. I haven't seen any studies going into that, but there are other products that have come out more recently that subcutaneous I think it's Enthanate that they're using, testosterone Enthanate, but it's a once weekly, and it basically gives more of a steady state.
What do you mean subcutaneous?
Okay, so like if you're injecting insulin, that's subcutaneous. If you're injecting testosterone Cipionate, you're going to be going intramuscular. So you're going to be going in inch and a half. Okay.
And this probably won't apply to most people, but I'm just curious real quick. What was the point of Sustanon 250 with the combination of all three, ethanate, propionate, and cypionate. I don't know if you've heard of that before.
Yeah, but I can't comment as an authority on that. I don't know.
It just hit my, so to give the guy some practical examples, endocrine disruptors, make sure your shaving cream, your, even women, your shampoo, conditioner, all, because your skin is an organ and it absorbs, and all the aluminum, if you're putting deodorant on a couple times a day, what we're putting on our skin, that's really the endocrine disruptors. Yeah. Also, I mean, isn't glyphosate plays a role in that, in Roundup and pesticides?
That's a nasty chemical. There isn't any safe level of glyphosate for the human body, and yet it's being found in all the GMO foods.
Yeah.
Well, they're Roundup resistant. And so you have companies like Quaker Oats. They went to Roundup Oats.
Wow. And just so people know, again, they GMO, genetically modified organism. So they have a friend of mine actually has a PhD in this and does gene splicing and works for Monsanto, believe it or not. And so he did it for a good reason, trying to get food down in Colombia and different, you know, trying to drought resistant areas. But so what they do is they'll actually splice the genes so you can spray Roundup pesticides on your wheat, and it won't kill the wheat. It will kill the weeds around it, because the wheat has been genetically modified to be resistant to Roundup, Roundup ready. So it's just
mind-boggling. So the residue is ending up on the plant, and it doesn't all come off. I remember in 2018, you know, seeing the report, a test on Quaker Oats, okay, and you know, the old fashioned, big bottles that come like that,
high level,
and they had a fair amount of glyphosate found detected in there. Well, there is no safe level of glyphosate, and it causes cancer. It causes a lot of things. It's like, well, how much mercury or arsenic or what if you knew that was in there? Well, it's just a little bit of arsenic, you know, that won't hurt me.
Right.
So anyway, it's really not good. And we get into those, the very bad effects on our hormones too. But with regards to the testosterone, getting back to that, as far as the other forms, there are topical forms. There's gels and there's creams and patches. Those actually do give you a steady state, but you do have to put them on every day. The patch, again, every day. It's not always desirable, because you get these red blotches all over your body every time you change it. Topical creams or gels, they can be transferable to other people. If you have, you know, small children, if they're in contact, rub that off. Generally speaking, if someone is cognizant, aware of that, they avoid, contact, they're really not going to transfer it much. But you do have to, when you put it on, you're going to have to wash your hands really good, make sure that skin isn't exposed to anyone else. But that is a way. You'll get a steady state after about 7 days, roughly.
I was going to mention, what about, I know there's going to be a lot of women listening on menopause, hormone replacement therapy. What would you say is the percentage of women who don't need hormone replacement therapy who are actually taking it? If they would, you know, change diet, maybe ideal body weight, there's a lot of things that can, you know, I think my problem is, even with myself as I get older, is sometimes we want to run to this therapy, but neglect a lot of the primary causes.
Right. Yeah. So with myself, I monitor my T levels.
Okay.
I look at those, and I may not have as much as I had years ago, but I really haven't dropped off that much.
Okay.
And I'm just making sure it's not going to drop off, and I'm doing everything I can. But when I started being very mindful of my diet and all the other factors that influence it, and eliminating things that will drop it, I you know, I saw it come up and it, it stayed up. So that's a good thing. With women, yeah, I try to optimize their diet. HRT is a life issue because there are women, everyone is different. There are women that say 10%, they don't get any hot flashes or sweats. So they say, I don't know what the deal is.
Right.
When I ask, you know, people in the field, you know, medicine, you know, well, what's menopause? Well, that's, they go through this period where they have hot flashes. Well, okay. Well, what if she never had hot flashes? Does that mean she didn't go through menopause? Oh, no. Yeah. She went through menopause. Well, how do you know? What's the definition? The definition is cessation of ovarian function and production of hormones. So they drop off. Okay. Some women get vasomotor symptoms. Some don't. And some, they continue even, you know, 10, 15 years later. Wow. They're still getting, well, wait a minute. That can't be. No, they still are. I've had patients, many of them, that have told me about their hot flashes still existing. So for all these women in the middle, okay, every woman is different. Okay, they're going to experience maybe depression or anxiety. It peaks, it really goes up high in the perimenopause and the menopausal beginning, okay? But it doesn't drop off that much after things settle a little
bit. Okay, so things will settle if they ride it out.
Yeah, and things will settle out a little bit, but there's cognitive functioning issues. Okay. They may not be able to focus, concentrate, multitask.
Okay.
And so for a lot of them, that's devastating. And, they see the other changes. I mean, they come in and they're going, wow, why do I have all these, aches? You know, I think I have arthritis, and my other doctor told me I have arthritis because this came on, and I'm bringing up the hormone levels a little bit. All of a sudden, the arthritis disappears. Well, it wasn't due to. So, it wasn't osteoarthritis. Especially the clue is that all of a sudden it came out of nowhere. Okay, and I've been having it for 6 months. Well, okay, and they say they're 51, 52 years of age. There's a clue there, but. It's a quality of life issue. So they will lose their skin thickness. Their skin becomes dry, becomes itchy. They no longer have lubrication. They become dry down below. They have urinary problems. They can't hold their urine. Their hormones are dropping off. Women will drop off 50% testosterone production usually. I mean, the other half comes from the adrenals.
Do some women get on testosterone therapy then too? And estrogen just depends what they're on.
Yes. But I don't put all women on testosterone. There are some women, I mean, I can't even let them smell this stuff. I mean, they really react. Yeah. And other women, I give them a little bit and they're asking me for, can I have twice as much?
Yeah.
Because it makes all the difference in the world. And they feel like they have their life back. But every woman is different. And so I just say, I don't know what your template is. We're going to have to figure it out. And it's a little bit of trial and error. It's not one size fits all. And usually the pharmaceutical industry has the model of there's small and large.
Right. Yeah.
That's what it's one or the other.
Yeah. And they never take lifestyle into consideration. You know, they'll never.
My colleagues are educated on that, and so because it's not taught to us.
What would you recommend then for women before they jump right into hormone replacement therapy? Maybe increasing protein, a lot less sugar, a lot less carbohydrates.
If you get them off their sugar addiction and you get them off their high carbohydrates, especially processed carbs, huge. Everything changes.
Yeah,
everything changes, and your body is able to kind of heal, but the high sugar content that weakens your immune system and it drives inflammation. And that's behind most all of our processes. So, oh my gosh, even the intermittent fasting, I mean, you, you end up having, you know, we mentioned about growth hormone, you know, after you do a little thing. Well, that's men and women. Okay. And, you know, by the age of 60, our growth hormone is down to almost nothing. Okay. But gee, it's amazing where you can, you know, increase that. You can change growth hormone. You can increase that by doing intermittent fasting, or you're familiar with this also. I mean, doing brief HIIT workouts. Okay. So you get the, you know, the nitric oxide release stimulating mitochondria, but it also stimulates testosterone and growth hormone.
Wow. And so people, what they HIIT is, high intensity interval training. So you're doing things at a pretty high, I mean, a good, it's you're such a rate where you can't really talk and have a conversation is what I tell people. It's, you know, get on the bike, do a 2-minute interval, some push-ups, some, I mean, you're keeping that heart rate high. It's high intensity interval, and that causes the body to increase all those areas.
But I want to distinguish between a high intensity interval training in a short, brief period, or a class for 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Please do.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that, because in the studies going back several years, I think it was Dr. Bush. I don't remember his first name, but anyway, Dr. Bush did some of this work, and he was looking at this, doing 3 to 5 minutes. Okay, if you go past 10 minutes, you definitely get a washout effect.
Yeah,
they didn't see these effects that I just mentioned with the nitric oxide. The nitric oxide hanging around for just a short time, it's concentrated, it's in your muscles, mm-hmm. and it's not really dissipating yet. But if you keep working out, that dissipates and you will lose this effect. Okay, if you want to get big, you're going to have to work out, you know, with heavier weights and for longer, okay?
Right.
Or you're going to need to run a distance if you want to build up endurance. But for this brief thing, this is large muscle groups, okay, rapidly activated for brevity, short period of time. So some people refer to it as the nitric oxide dump. Okay, so the nitric oxide has time. And if you do that, say 2-3 times a day, you get more bang for your buck if you're doing the resistance workout or the cardio workout. Okay, you're going to get more effect from your muscles because of that. Okay, so I know a lot of trainers that incorporate this to get more response from their clientele. Okay, but you know, I've been teaching this to, you know, 75-year-old ladies for the last 15 years at least. Okay, and telling them, as you get older, you have to work out smarter, not harder. Okay. And you know about blood flow resistance bands, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and I mean, people out there listening may not know what those are. You can explain, but when you're using those, you're getting a similar effect. You're actually holding on to that nitric oxide. Okay.
They're compressing the area.
Yeah. So the bands are, you can use them on your extremities. Okay. You can't use them on your neck.
Yeah.
But it's not a tourniquet. It's just it's bringing down the flow, and it's while you're working out. But you can lift not the super high weight. All you have to do is, you know, go say 3/4 of your max, and you will get the same benefit, and you won't have the risk of tearing the muscle fiber in the same way.
That's what I'm telling. For practical examples, people could just do some squats at home, or some tricep movements, or some bicep movements, or even not pushups, but go down your knees, maybe half pushups. I mean, you can, there's a lot of things you can do to be strategic about, you know, moving.
Yeah. Patients, look, you don't have to go to the gym to do this real quickly. I tell them first thing in the morning. Okay. I do this every morning. I put on a podcast, and I will do like 5 minutes. I might do 2 minutes of pushups, and then I come up with maybe I probably have 3 dozen different exercises I can do. They're nothing more than calisthenics if you think about it. But I was telling this to a Pilates instructor, and she says, "Oh my gosh, those are Pilates moves," you know. And she says, I know all those." And I said, "Well, this is how I want you to do them," and it does make a really big difference, and it gets people going, you know, first thing in the morning. Okay, it only takes 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I might do seven, but I try to keep it down.
If you've enjoyed this episode of Eidelman Unplugged, be sure to send us your ideas and topics for future episodes of the podcast. You can send us an email at westsidechristianfellowship.org or shaneeidelman.com. Thank you for listening to us today, and join us again on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Eidelman Unplugged. For more information, visit us at shaneeidelman.com. Again, that's shaneeidelman.com.
El Paseo Publications proudly supports the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network. We are committed to quality in Christian publication. Free ebooks can be found at westsidechristianfellowship.org under free ebooks. Books such as What Works for Men and What Works for Young Adults will help readers understand that the obstacles ahead are never greater than God's power to take you through. Books such as What Works When Diets Don't and Feasting and Fasting demonstrate how health can be achieved from a biblical perspective. Other free books such as Answers for a Confused Church and Desperate for More of God show the importance of fully surrendering our lives to Christ. And One Nation Above God is a must read for anyone concerned about the direction of America. Again, free downloads of these ebooks are available at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We are happy about partnering with the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network.